tire tracks back as Alec Turner skidmarks his way back into Scarab stenography.
Outlining, aligning, shining, mining!
Gold! Always believe in your soul.
Mr. Hankey plays with himself.
Bye now, eyebrow.
Sometimes it's good to be bad, but being bad is banned.
It'll be all blight on the night.
Your community brings you events, always.
Ever since space travel outside our solar system began to be enjoyed by private pilots, rather than being the exclusive province of governments and megacorporations, adventurers have sought ways to leave their mark on the galaxy. Of course, the flag is a good start point. Stick a flag in it. There's good old-fashioned graffiti. Flossie was here, carved into some far-flung space rock with a laser. And much worse, space archaeologists are still finding rude images scratched into planets throughout the systems near Sol. In more modern times, pilots have elevated this graffiti into an art form. And with the invention of the Scarab multi-purpose vehicle, an opportunity presented itself. Skid marks. Big ones. Or if you actually release the handbrake and steer in just the right kind of frantic manner, tire track texts. In recent years, there's been a furore after Scarabs were fitted with automatic dust-off tire track covering air blowers, using compressed air to remove any trace that the Scarab was ever there. This week, after petitioning from the Buckyballers, they've reversed this decision, complete with flashing red light and beep, beep, beep noises, and legendary racing driver Alec Turner has informed us here in the Hutton Orbital newsroom that his tracks are back. Whether on an airless moon or under a carbon dioxide atmosphere, as long as you're not trundling over hard rock or outcrops of bacteria, any dusty surface will now bear the imprint of all six of your wheels, or four if you're doing it in a combat SRV, and you can leave important messages such as "Hello Mum" or that ancient numerical inscription 531-8008. Of course, some people just draw willies.
Tonight, we're talking about Commander Alec Zuno. You know, the pilot that's feared by pirates the galaxy over. The pilot that's more interested in mathematics than massacres. Except when, you know, the latter aids the former. And who, along with Commander Vulcarius, represent the Imperial Navy Intervention and Rescue. Their organization has provided online aids for long-distance flying, short-distance shooting, brain-busting thinking for totals, and searches for places that you didn't even know you needed to know about. If you don't know what I'm talking about, their goal web address is iniv.space. Okay, so you're queued in. That's Alec. A few weeks ago, Alec told us that she was taking some time away from handing in yet another bounty of exactitude, thus avoiding much head-scratching and finesse envy from most of us who can only dream of being able to pronounce the numbers, let alone achieve them. So, what she'd be doing? Well, in a word, mining. Commander Zuno has been seen smashing seven shades of shale out of rocks. As she puts it, I wish to present a light-hearted demonstration of a simple challenge for commanders to attempt if they are learning to fly with flight assist disabled. We know this isn't boring because she's using seismic charges rather than subsurface displacement. sorry, a little mining joke there. Eagle-eyed viewers, and if you're listening to the radio or the podcast, apologies, you'll just have to use your imagination, will have spotted that Alec is attempting to mine Alexandrite. which we like to think was probably named after Alexandra herself. And therefore, she's only reclaiming what's rightfully hers. And without all that tedious business where someone else mines it, pirates steal it, and Alex grabs it back as they disintegrate. Ugh. Okay. If you want to be picky, the gemstone mineral was so named during the reign of Emperor Nikolai I of Russia, as a gift to the imperial family in honor of his son, the future emperor, Alexander II. But we like our version better. Apparently, one property of alexandrite is that it changes color with different angles and types of light, much as pirates do, as their shields glow blue and white. Then lovely shades of yellow and red surround them as Alex chalks another mark in her cockpit. But she's not doing that at the moment, like we said. So, whether you're a miner or a pirate, please sit back and watch as Alex finishes her mining demonstration. P.S. Alex is demonstrating her compassion, as only prospecting limpets were used in this demonstration, so, you know, no collector limpets were left behind in the end.
After the second exciting week of Going for Gold 3, Hutton's later squadron exploration event, we are lying 6th in the squadron table with just a shade over a billion points, and with the leaders on almost 3 billion. There's no need for full-on panic just yet, as there are still 6 weeks to go, and the Explorer billionaires will be leaving it to the last possible day, just in case they miss out on just one more terraformable. Tuckers everywhere have been coming out of the woodwork to lend a hand, almost 36 at the last count. That's still a couple of short of the 480 Tuckers in the Hutton squadron, so even if you just honk every system you pass through in the bubble, it will add something. And stress Antares' programming skills and colour palette, if nothing else. Our very own Mia Heartless is still very, very humbly sorry for leading the Going for Gold table for a second week, making up almost a third of the Hutton total with 606 million credits. Submitted with the Happy Moon Monkey close behind on 508 million. Additionally, we now have a number of Tuckers who have broken the 100 million credit barrier. In addition to the aforementioned two, we have, in order, Bam, Afrothos, Monty P, and Christoph Hanke in the nine-figure club, who is going to be the first to break the milestone of 1 billion credits. Dr. Evil there for a moment. It isn't too late if you want to take part. All you have to do is have the Hutton Helper running. Download it from hut.forthemog.com. You need to be in the Hutton Squadron. That's Hut as in H-U-T-T, not as in Pizza Hut. and you need to sell your cartographic exploration data before 7 a.m. on Thursday, 21st of July, 3308. You have 6 weeks left, so get out there and get busy scanning. Commander Chicks will be along a little later with the third part of his four-part trilogy of tips and tricks, where he explains how to really boost your carto credits using the various bonuses available by, well, basically being first. Remember, stay off the beaten track, stay above or below the galactic plane, and if someone got there before you, go somewhere else.
Sith publicist Emperor Hanky, King of the Clones, Sovereign of the Snakes, and Master of Miniature War, was recently observed taking part in a competition of galactic proportions, moving personnel, buildings, senior vicars, horses, and royalty around as if they were pieces on a chessboard. Which they were. The giant amongst men of below average height is, as we know, no stranger to the Bishop's Opening, and knows that castling isn't just something that Duke's got up to with the serving wenches up in the West Tower, and has even been known to play by himself with both hands in simultaneous displays for the amusement of the crowds. Small wonder then that the man who taught Mr. Spock everything he knew about 3D chess, Q everything about how to impersonate an Aldebaran serpent, and is the inventor of what has come to be known as the Hanky Defence, which is really just blaming everything on Rampage, was in great demand, as brainiacs who can think 12 moves ahead but can't remember where they left their trousers battled it out in the hotbed that is Burial Mound in the Furnace, until Highlander-like, there was only one triumphant. We presume that was Hanky, but official observer Flossie was silent on the subject, claiming that she, Wrongway, and their offspring were only present for lunch, and not, as we previously reported, to watch Hanky make a meal of it.
The militant wing of the Bald is Sexy movement, you know, the one epitomised by Lieutenant Ilya, has been expanding their operations this week by travelling the galaxy and simultaneously shaving off everyone's eyebrows. Commander Dirk Hatch was just one of the people affected by this assault, but as you can see from his picture, it's not so much facial deforestation as just a little tidying up at the edges of an already, it has to be said, pretty shiny expanse. Rumours that this is a move to squash demand for more emotes by adding quizzical expression, as even Roger Moore needed an eyebrow to act, have been met with almost no visible emotion from the Pilots Federation that we can tell. But of course, that may be the new space Botox option. A spokesman for the Pilots Federation, who asked to remain anonymous, so we'll call him Captain Hair on Chin, said, "It was the Imperial Clippers."
Commander Deadmate GF, Hutton's roving reporter and part of the Rampage School of Ninj, has been in touch with the studio over recent days with a complaint. He has been totally unable to do anything that would end up with a visit to the Naughty Step. In the ultimate in crime prevention, the Pilots Federation appear to have nobbled the naughty, prevented the pilferers, and put the kibosh on the kleptomania by including new software that actively prevents heists. You can accept the mission, you can tool up, you can hitch a lift or fly yourself somewhere near the destination, but as soon as you arrive, it's a full system shutdown. You can't do anything. If you're thinking of inserting a doobry into one of the containment facilities, or lifting a watsit from a processing plant, you're not allowed. It's banned. Settlement security guards throughout the galaxy are said to be enjoying this unexpected break from defending their most precious wares from being robbed, stolen, lifted, pilfered, purloined, and misappropriated. Of course, the cupboards are still fair game, but it's far less likely they'll end up in the crosshairs of a rampaging Rampage or a Flossie in one of her lepto moods. There's an ongoing investigation into the legality of making the illegal impossible, but it's possible that in order to be illegal, it needs to be possible, and it's probable that heists will once again become available. Just remember the number one rule of Heist Club. Thou shalt not get caught, and if thou wist, thine armaments had better be loaded.
With the recent spate of infrastructure failures finally cleared, it has been a less fraught week here in Hutton Space. It hasn't been entirely quiet, with another blight and an expansion war being fought, and we have more on those stories coming up. Despite a brief and half-hearted recovery during a brief period of calm, Barnard's staff finds itself slumped back to 32%. Reassuringly, it occupies its regular spot at the bottom of the Hutton systems table. The latest in a long series of elections between minor factions that was tying up 30% of the system's influence has just ended, but it won't be long before they're at it again. So, until they do, Barnard Star makes a great spot to dump some of that lovely exploration data. Kakari has maintained its steady decline over the week, leaving it in the mid-30s, so there's another good spot to cash in your going for gold 3 exploration data. Epsilon Eridani suffered a small reverse, dropping back to 39%, largely accounted for by a rise in influence of the Mad Monks, a watchful eyes being kept. The two infrastructure failures in Avic and Wolf 359 took some time to relieve, but systems were returned to normal operation a couple of days ago. Another outbreak of blight has occurred, this time in Wolf 25, so truckers should ship in agronomic treatment. Authorities are investigating patterns of ship movements to try to determine how this contamination is being spread throughout our systems. Typically, not the cleanest of sorts, truckers are being asked to be especially thorough in their ship and cargo decontamination routines, and weekly showers may be mandated whether you think you need one or not. If truckly hygiene weren't enough cause for concern, there is also a bust state pending in Wolf 25 as these systems' finances have been undermined by a spate of smuggling. Boost the system through trade and sell your carto data in bonkers. The expansion war into LHS 3531 has concluded with a large dollop of assistance from the controlling player faction, who were only too happy to vent the third player faction from the system airlock. Remember, it's their system, so be nice, wipe your feet before you leave your ship, and don't get too rowdy in the station bar. At the overachieving end of the Hutton systems tables, we have just 5 systems above 60%, and I can feel an unsolicited expansion coming on again soon. Remember, don't boost systems above 60%, spread your trade and carto data love around some of the more deserving places. Priorities this week are, if you want to truck something, clear the blight in Wolf 25, and then boost it to clear the bust state. Boost Barnard Star and Kakari. If you want to shoot something, take a look at Operation Breastplate in the Hutton Discord.
And here are the updates from those community-led events out there in the galaxy. This week they are the Nexus Initiative, Trip Omega, Does the Sun Still Rise in the East, 5 Euro Tours, and At the Eldritch Gate. Links will as always be posted in Twitch chat and also in the description of the YouTube upload. As far as the Nexus Initiative is concerned, it's been a bit quiet on the Gary Hogan front for a few weeks, and Commander Caboose has told us why. You'll recall that he wants to have the seating areas, Vista Genomics and other such luxuries fitted to the inside of the Gary Hogan as he goes through the business process of having legs added. Well, apparently he didn't want to be caught in the rush, so started the decommissioning process a couple of weeks ago, saying, "Well, we're right at the front of the queue, boys, aren't we?" Then turning round, looking at the lack of people behind him, shouting, "Boys! Boys!" And so the Gary Hogan is in the shipyard, sitting up on the biggest piles of bricks you've ever seen, as he might as well wait until September. However, the Nexus Initiative isn't just sitting round twiddling its thumb drives. Apparently, the Legacy of Dawn is still doing her weekly trade routes for those interested in joining her in Brani. The Legacy is going to use this time to earn enough credits to fund the Gary Horgan for a long time. So it's adieu to the Gary Horgan, but not goodbye. We'll see you in September. Commander Radium is checking the mail that's piled up behind the front door at home and wishing they'd watered their pot plants before heading out on Trip Omega. But before they go and put the washing in the machine, they've had time to send this note.
After exactly 113 days of journeying out in the galaxy, Titan Contractor's fourth and largest trip, Trip Omega, has finally come to a slightly explosive end. This trip was the largest expedition undertaken by the squadron to date. Since launching on the 12th of February, our carriers, the TOC Solaris and TOC Monty Burns, have travelled 85,326 light years, completing 213 jumps each. 59 points of interest were visited, and 13 staging points were reached during this time. We estimate, and this is a big estimate, that you all took and posted 2,000 plus images throughout the trip, with 145 submitted to our challenges, and 11 lucky commanders won a total of 10.4 billion credits in challenge rewards. Alongside our journey, we also wrote 49 narrative articles for our story throughout the trip, from start to finish. We're so grateful that the people were able to join this trip and enjoy it, and couldn't have made it possible without support from our community. To those interested in following in the footsteps of our trip, we encourage you to check out the commemoration page on our website and watch our commemoration video that's coming up. You can join our Discord as well via the provided links. Fly safe!
Command of the Presence has gone just about as far east as it's going to, and he brings us this week's adventures from Just the Sun Still Rise in the East, week 14.
I don't like to say anything negative, but no, he doesn't. It's a far cry from back in Colonia, where the stars outnumber the sequins on a ballroom dancer's frock. Waypoints are odd too. You don't see one for weeks and then two pop up at once. I had a very easy run to the DSSA Deus Vault, Expedition Waypoint 11, and after a cold shower and a hot breakfast, I went to find Captain Shiny Rick to give him the gifts I'd brought. All the way from Laplace Ring in the Bubble, I'd brought him a ton of conger ale, although, like fine scotch, the angels do seem to steal it from the cask. From Jacques Station, a rare Quentician still, and from a secret guardian hotspot, a million-year-old orb, to use as a football in a challenge for SRVs. After paying out the value of my carto data to the guard on the command deck door, by way of a bribe, I made it up to his ready room to see a small note left on his desk. Gone to Sol for a Minecraft tournament. Not a happy bunny, as I'll have to lug them home now. I left in high dudgeon, even though where he has set up his base is truly amazing. So here I am now at the very edge of the Milky Way, drowning my sorrows in the delightfully named Magellan's Bar, one of two carriers all the way out here, looking out over its shiny paint job, thinking, it would have been so easy to make it look tacky or gaudy, but they made quite a nice job of this. Until next week, and the start of the homeward journey, TTFN 07.
Commander Hunter and the latest 5-Euro tour, the return of the journey to the centre of the Milky Way, returning to Colonia and Sagittarius A, the hard way, without fleet carriers, is progressing nicely, and he's had time to pen this update. Hello everyone, here's our update on the 5-Euro Tours expedition. We've been nearly 2 weeks underway now and have come a long way. One commander has already finished this expedition. I hope he didn't miss that black hole. We have travelled over 70,000 light years, jumped in the total and over 60... Sorry, we have travelled over 70,000 light years jumped in total, and over 6,300 planets have been mapped for our friends at the Universal Cartographics Office. As expected, and a completely normal phenomenon, one commander has perished and now has a place among the stars, permanently. See you all next week as we're nearing Colonia, 07. Commander Richard Fluriness M is still looking for applicants to join his expedition with a difference. That sets off in just a few weeks now, as he tells us in this appeal to your spirit of mystery.
The Independent Explorers Association is proud to present our latest expedition, At the Eldritch Gate. The glowing green gas giants have always interested pilots. There is nothing quite like them in the galaxy, and they are very rare. There appear to be no common factors to help explorers find more of them, no common star or conditions that can be used to determine what kind of systems may have one. They have been found in all different kinds of systems and stellar circumstances. So, when a new one is found, it's always noteworthy. And the exploring community have kept a list of all those discovered so far. Except one. A glowing green gas giant with a large and impressive ring was found by Commander Kelly Eldridge 7 years ago, which was never documented as the commander could not remember exactly where they found it. System and other issues prevented them from retrieving information that could have helped to pinpoint the location further. So we only have some brief notes and this screenshot. All we know is that it's somewhere in Vulcan's Gate, in the area known as the Perseus Crags. Thanks to what info Kelly has been able to provide, we've put together this expedition. It will not be a regular expedition in the sense that we travel from point to point. Instead, we will fly out to a specific location and then spread out from that location in a systematic search for the lost giant. Individual commanders, squadrons, or commanders who wish to represent their squadron, all are welcome to join us as we hope to find the giant and return it to its rightful place in the galactic catalogues, as well as taking the opportunity to further chart the region. Kelly did not have the scanning and mapping tools we have today, and we hope to discover not just the giant, but many other interesting things as well. There will be fleet carriers in support, so if you want to bring multiple ships, you are welcome to do so. All the services you will need, including the concourse, are provided with zero tariff. Join us by registering for the expedition at the link shown, and join our Discord.
Commander Richard Fluvenes M has also sent us an interesting video, and we'll be playing it very soon after the news, so stay tuned. I know that's a lot of events, but I bet there are more. Email itookpart@hutnorbital.com and tell us about them.